the weekend, and I tweeted this out, by the way, the Twitter feed, the TMC show, the TMC show. That's it. I tweeted out this article I was reading on this website. I was at, on this website, this fitness website, and it was called The Zombie Diet. And I was like, what? The Zombie Diet? And I read it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. And what's interesting is, let me get on Pam Colleen, and I want to, there's a fascinating bit about this diet that I want to get to. Pam, how are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am well. You have often mentioned the lack of creativity or variety in our diet, especially when it comes to protein, and you have touted organ meats for a while. I have to give you credit, and I was like, yeah, I don't know about organ meats. I'm not sure. But then I read this story about the zombie diet, and it started out in 1973, in an obscure report done for the Center for Science and Public Interest. They had taken 36 protein-rich foods and ranked them according to nutritional value. And one of the ones that was ranked above shrimp, ham, sirloin steak, peanut butter, fried chicken, pure beef hot dogs was, in fact, Elpo dog food. That, and the reason why they included it was because somebody had heard poor people ate a lot of Elpo because it's low cost. And then when they compared, they're like, actually, Elpo, because what we give the dog to eat is probably more nutritious than what we eat because it contains organ meat. And we're like, what? Yeah, beef liver is one of the greatest things you can actually eat.
That's right. Our ancestors knew this. I mean, when we used to be hunter-gatherers, of course, when we killed an animal, the first part of the animal that we ate would have been the organ meats, because we knew that they were the most nutrient-dense part of the animal. So if we look back at what our grandparents would have told us, you know, one or two generations ago, of course, they would have told us that we should be eating liver about once a week. And we've lost that nutritional wisdom, unfortunately, today, because so many people are actually afraid of eating organ meats, which is really not to our better interest in terms of our health.
And the amazing thing is, besides just protein, where we think of we need meat for the protein and the fatty acids and the saturated fats that's in it, when we look at beef liver, has more vitamin C than apples and carrots. It has more B12. I mean, it has it's like amazing what there is in liver. It's amazing that it has all this extra stuff that
we don't promote. It's very rich in the fat-soluble vitamins. So when you look at before World War II, of course, our children would have gotten cod liver oil in their daily regimen, because cod liver oil, of course, is very rich in the fat-soluble vitamins that I often mention on your show, because it's these fat-soluble vitamins that are critical for the growth and development of children, but they're also very crucial for the proper functioning of the nervous system as well. So really, you're going to get some of these fat-soluble vitamins in the muscle meat, but they're really mostly dense in the organ meat.
And one of the things, and obviously for a farmer to turn a profit, he's got to sell the whole cow. He's got to be, but there's a reason why, it's just not price, why you'd buy liver or kidneys. The fact is, I mean, as you say, there are so many traditional recipes that include organ meat, and maybe we bought them for price points, but they are so nutritious, and they offer us, in terms of more than what we think of, for instance, a ribeye. Oh, I mean, it's so great, a ribeye. It's like, actually, you know what? The kidney's probably better for you, or the stomach.
Yeah, it probably is.
Or the
liver. I did an interview with your sister station here in London with Andy Udman, and we had Jennifer McLagan on, and she's a Canadian chef who's written a few books on principles around eating these traditional ancestral foods. One of her books is called Odd Bits. And so the cookbook is a whole constellation of recipes that would include parts of the animal that people would otherwise not even know about. So they wouldn't even know how to prepare these recipes. So she's got a treasure trove of you know, recipes in all three of her books, and she's just a wonderful reference in terms of returning to these ancestral foods. So I highly encourage people to take a look at her books. Jennifer McLagan is her name. It's just a matter now of getting people over the fear, Tom, of eating these nutrient-dense foods. And once people can get over the fear of eating these foods, then they can open up their kitchens to new recipe ideas.
How, I guess, I mean, How many servings? How often would you recommend it? I don't know if people, and maybe it's just a matter of variety, but I don't know if people could eat liver every day.
Well, you know
day.
What I do is people who don't like the taste of liver, they might prefer eating pate. So there's lots and lots of different recipes that you can look for online to try different pate recipes to see which one you like. Might like the best. There's another issue with liver that I notice, and that's really my organ meat of choice, by the way, is liver. But the one thing I notice with liver is people sometimes don't prepare it properly, and so that's one reason why they don't like it.
Okay.
One of the big mistakes that people make when they make liver is they overcook it, and so it becomes very rubbery. So
that's how I remember liver. My parents loved liver, and that's how I remember liver was on the rubbery side. I didn't like the texture of it.
They might have been overcooking it, but
that's probably what they were.
Even the recipe or the article you were looking at, they talk about soaking the liver in some lemon first. But actually, a lot of people, what they do is they soak the liver in milk first before they actually fry it up in. And hopefully, you're frying it in things like butter or lard. You know, some of these nice nutrient dense animal fats, which would make it even that much more flavorful.
One of the things, I don't eat a lot of liver. One of the livers I do eat, and is there much of a difference, though? Probably between beef liver seems to be one of the top livers, but we were at a restaurant the other day in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and it was a chicken liver pate. And I love, of all the livers, I like chicken liver. Is it the same benefit? I mean, are we going to, and does it change the nutritional content of it? Am I going to get rid of the vitamins and the minerals and the good stuff?
Well,
by the matter
the board,
of how I cook it.
Yeah, across the board, liver is going to be more nutrient dense than any other part of the animal, whether it's in a chicken or a pig or a cow.
Okay.
But what you really want to look for, Tom, in terms of nutrient density, is you want to make sure that the animal has been raised out on pasture.
Okay.
Because when the animal is raised out on pasture, you're going to get more minerals in the liver or other organ meats, but you're also going to get more of these wonderful fat-soluble vitamins, things like vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin K, and so on.
But I'm not going to risk cooking anything out or altering the nature of the liver on how I prepare it. For instance, a pate, I have to, what's the proper term? I have to, you know, exactly blend it all together. That's not going to hurt the nutritional content, is it?
Not particularly, no, because the fat-soluble vitamins can actually increase with cooking. So and even the minerals will still be intact. Some of the B vitamins might be compromised because some of them are more fragile, like B12 and B6, for example, are more fragile. So, but overall, like some people I know eat raw liver, but it's raw liver from a grass-fed cow. So these
raw?
Are your real zombies, Tom.
Raw? How do they eat raw liver?
Well, what some of my clients do is they actually take a piece, like a tablespoon or so of raw liver, and they'll eat it like a multivitamin on a daily basis. But this is, again, grass-fed. This is from a cow that has been raised out on pasture. Some people actually put the raw liver in cubes and put the cubes in the freezer in like an ice cube tray.
Okay.
And they might take it out on a daily basis and use it as a multivitamin. But, you know, the one concern that people have with regards to liver is the risk of having parasites, because liver can overaccumulate parasites.
What about the fact that liver is also where we break down and metabolize toxins?
Actually, that's kind of a myth, because the liver actually neutralizes. It will help neutralize toxins in the body. It doesn't necessarily store the toxins.
Oh, okay. So it's stored somewhere. So the liver breaks them down?
Yeah, it neutralizes toxins. It doesn't really store toxins per se, but one thing that is a risk with liver would be things like parasites. More particularly.
Okay, so if I'm eating raw liver,
parasites, one of the things you can do is put the liver in the freezer for about 2 weeks, and that should help neutralize the parasites. But ideally, of course, you still want to get liver or organ meats from a healthy animal.
Pam Colleen is our nutritional consultant. It was sort of not on a whim, but this diet, no one is going to prescribe, the zombie diet. However, there's some great points in terms of what we think of as quality sources of protein. There's actually things you should consider that organ meats provide benefits beyond. You know, we talk about, make sure you get a healthy source of protein. It's what the body needs, but organ meats are almost at the top of the scale in terms of what you should eat. 17 minutes after 11 o'clock. If you have a question on Pam and especially organ meats in this fascinating discussion, you can always call us 905-688-2582, 1-877-610-2582, #610 on the Bell Mobility Network. Send me an email, McConnell@610CKTV.com, or even a text message, you liver lovers out there, 61010. You're justified. Liver lovers are justified this morning. 61010 is the text message. Back with more with Pam Colleen next.
Work.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us on the program as she does every other week, talking about the zombie diet. But Pam, on a more serious note, in terms of serving up animals, there's a real revolution going on, as you talked about. Odd Bits is the name of one book, but serving from the snout to the tail and mm-hmm. all in between, there's something delicious. I mean, we just don't have to think of the upper end cuts as being good for us.
That's right. It's adding more variety to the kitchen, essentially, and to your palate. And, you know, some of these organ meats do require, some adjusting too. There's no question about that. But you can hide, you know, if they do have strong flavors, you can actually hide some of these organ meats in like an enchilada or something like that. You can bury it in some sort of wrap and not really notice it or taste it. Or if you make a meatloaf, you can hide some of the organ meat pieces in, say, a meatloaf and not really even taste them in there. So it's just a way to add extra nutrition.
Yeah, when we think of pepperoni has tripe in it or stomach. I mean, we've steak and kidney pie. I mean, sweetbreads on their own are pretty good. I mean, a lot of things don't need, and as I said, I don't mind chicken livers of all the livers. May in St. Catharines, you got a question or a comment for Pam? Hello, May.
Hello. Oh, Tom, you just said it now. I wanted to ask Pam, what is sweetbreads and what falls under the umbrella of offal? OFFAL.
Oh, what a great question.
Offal is, those are the essential innards of the animal. So let's see, the sweetbreads, if I recall correctly, Tom, what are they there? Is it
endocrines? The sweetbreads are the endocrine glands.
It's a thymus, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. One of the thymus and, the thymus. It would be the endocrine. So the sweetbreads, you'd need a lot of animals to produce a meal,
yeah,
I guess.
It's small. It's
yeah, very small.
Bland. Yeah. I believe that's what it is. I'd need to double check. It's not something I don't think I've ever had it, quite honestly.
I've had sweetbreads, and they're not bad, actually. They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then offal.
Yeah, they're a delicacy, Tom, in many cultures.
What is the official definition of offal, O-F-F-A-L?
It's basically the remains. After a butcher would be done with an animal, after butchering an animal, it's all the remains of the animal. So it's essentially the innards. And a lot of these innards, like you said, are being turned into dog food. But some of them are very valuable, very nutrient dense, and should be, you know, used on your kitchen plates. So it's really a shame that so many of these organ meats aren't being sold in the stores today. You're lucky if you can find liver, kidney. I'm not sure you can get heart, I think.
I know I can get liver and heart. And I know I can get, although tongue we don't really classify because it's a muscle, but I know I can get liver and heart, but the rest of it, I'm not sure. Giblets I can get, which are kidneys. And
I'll tell you another one I learned about when we did this show with Jennifer McClagan is pizzle. I had never heard of pizzle before.
Excuse me?
Pardon?
Excuse, what did you just say?
Pizzle.
How do you spell that, Pam?
So, let's just say, to give it a sort of parallel phrase in English, I could call somebody a pizzle head.
Okay.
They dry it up, and they sell it. There's a butcher
here in
London that sells it. And
it's exactly what I thought it was. I thought it was something else. It's exactly what I thought it was.
Most men are probably cringing right now.
Yeah, all right. Male.
There's a butcher here in London who sells pizzle as dog food, something dehydrated that dogs would chew on.
Wow.
So talk about using every part of the animal.
Elsa, you have a question or a comment?
Well, I have a recipe that I'd like to share from the past. Like the liver. So, and you need bacon, a strip of bacon, which you brush with Worcester sauce, and then you wrap it around the liver. And then put a toothpick in and you broil it until the bacon is done. So you have a nice hors d'oeuvre, or it can be part of the main course.
Oh, nice.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Pam, I wanted to ask you, I often make soup with the, the packages you buy of heart and gizzards and all that. Is that nutritious?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Yeah, I use it quite a bit, especially during the winter.
Very good idea.
And then I add brown rice to it.
Excellent idea.
Elsa,
you know,
thanks for the call.
About liver, Tom, that I should have mentioned, and it's got something called the anti-fatigue factor.
Okay.
So a lot of people, after they eat liver, especially raw liver from high-quality sources, the grass-fed sources, they always tend to report that they have more energy after eating liver.
Now, can I get, I know there are what we call desiccated liver pills. Are they anywhere close to eating raw liver? Or not raw liver, or just liver?
It's an option. Okay. You know, certainly an option if people wanted to take liver capsules or supplements. But I think really, dollar for dollar, you're better off preparing liver and eating it weekly, just like our ancestors did.
Warren, in a quick email I'll leave you with, now well into my 70s and my youth and still living at home, my mother cooked beef heart at least once a month. Nowadays, it's very difficult to find beef heart in supermarkets. Nob Hill Farms used to be a source, but they're long gone. Love beef heart, says Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in the heart, or is it just a muscle, I guess just a different type? Because the liver as an organ is certainly unique in its composition.
Right, and heart is very high in CoQ10, which is wonderful for your heart, you see.
Oh, all right.
So our ancestors would have known if you eat organ meats, it's going to nourish or heal all of your own innards as well. So, they used to eat the adrenal glands, the thyroid gland. They used to eat all of these innards just because they knew they were very medicinal.
Pam, always a pleasure. I will look for liver the next time I go to the supermarket for sure.
Okay, sounds good there, Tom. Enjoy, okay?
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
29 minutes after 11 o'clock.